January 12th, 2022, and I'm calling this meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. And for the benefit of our guests on Zoom and on the telephone, I will ask Fawn Tantillo again to call the roll of the seven commissioners. And so when your name is called, please wave your hand so everybody knows your winsome face and name. Say present. Okay, so go ahead, Fawn.
All right. Regis Obajewski.
Here, present.
Sarah DiStefano.
Here. Hi.
Andy Monk. Hi, there's Andy. Donna Lutz.
I was muted. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Ken Panza.
Present.
Barabbas Rask.
Here.
And Kathleen Waite.
Present.
Okay. Twice.
Well, we have a quorum, so we're ready to proceed. But before we do, I'd like to just say that we have county personnel who have been participating in every single Commission on Reapportionment Committee meeting. And each is a valuable resource to us. And so I'd like for everybody who is a guest, in a sense, to meet the county folks that have been of such great help to this commission. And so, Juan, I'm going to ask you to just introduce yourself and just your function in the county, and then point out the county officials that are on call so that they could do the same.
Sure. Here come Andy. Andy, I have you joining a second time too, with your audio. Right, my name is Fawn Tantillo. I'm one of the clerks of the legislature, and I just do the paperwork for this committee. And then we have Rob with the planning board. Rob, you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Sure. Rob Leibowitz with the county planning department. I'm also liaise with New York State Data Center of Department. So I have a lot of experience in demographic and GIS mapping background, as including my other roles with the county.
And Kristen Gumar, am I pronouncing your name right, Kristen? You were with the county attorney's office.
Yeah, it's Gumar.
Gumar.
And I'm the first assistant county attorney, and I am here to take back any legal questions, do research, report back to the group. If necessary, if you want.
And then we have a member of the public, Carol Nolan, with us, who's watching. And one of our newly elected legislators, Phil Erner, is with us tonight.
Hi.
Well, thank you, and welcome to everybody. We have received all the documents from the December 8th meeting, which was a very, very exciting meeting, and to say the very least. And we have had a full transcript of that meeting. And so for, I guess, those of you who do not know, but on the Ulster County website and the Commission on Quality Reapportionment, our meetings and notes and minutes from those meetings are there for anybody's reading and scrutiny and the sleep time aid. We have the minutes for the December 8th meeting, and I'd ask for a motion to accept those minutes from someone, please. Kathy? Okay. Second, please.
I'll second it.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. All those in favor signify by raising your hand and say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Carrie, those opposed, anybody wishes to raise their hand and say no, that's fine too. Okay. Any abstentions? No. Okay. So the minutes for December 8th have been approved. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments from the commissioners, first of all, about any aspects of the agenda? What should be there? What isn't there? What's there that's not clear? We're just going to ask you first, and then everybody else. So, commissioners first. Anything? Any comments on the agenda? Anything you want to add or need clarification for. Okay, thank you. Now, for others who as participating in the agenda, I'd like to ask members of the county personnel who serve as support to us if they have any questions or comments about the agenda. Okay, and finally, our guests, if you have seen the agenda and you have questions or comments, you could speak up now. Okay, thank you very much.
Comment. I think you have a comment.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please. First, state who you are, where your municipality is, and what your comment is. Go ahead. Unmute yourself, please.
You did.
Hello.
Carol, did you have a comment for us?
No, I was talking under my breath Bill unmuting himself. Sorry.
Okay, I thought it was a dramatic pause and we were all going to get a little frightened first, but thank you for that.
It seems like Bill might be having trouble unmuting himself. I don't know if that's the settings of the call or internet issue, but.
No, hi, I misunderstood that it was my turn to speak. Is it?
Yes, it is. Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thank you. And I did not see the agenda, unfortunately, but is this a time when I can just ask a general question? And
well, at the end of the meeting, we have comments for a general question. This one is just about the agenda. And then at the end, you can ask questions. Anybody can ask questions or make comments. Okay, so if you don't mind, Phil. All right. Okay, yep. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I just emailed you the meeting materials with the agenda attached. So,
okay, and all right. So we're gonna proceed. Before we get to the fourth bulleted item on the agenda, I just wish to use the chair's privilege of the floor for a moment to make a couple of acknowledgments. The guidance document that we completed at the last meeting, as you know, has been posted to the website as of December 21st, and Fuentantillo has been gracious in releasing putting a press release out there on the Commission on Reapportionment's invitation for the public to participate and the guidance that's required in order to participate. We also want to express our gratitude once more to the committee that prepared the first draft of the guidance document, and that was Sarah DiStefano, Andy Monk, and Travis Rask. The lion's share of the last meeting on December 8th, the commission was dedicated to refining that document, and Andy, who was on the shaping of the penultimate draft of that document, led us in a coordinated, facilitated discussion that went on for several lively minutes, and he did the wordsmithing at the end to put the bow on the package. So I really want to acknowledge him and the committee that he was a part of. So thank you again for that. And somewhere in the cake mix of last month's discussion on redistricting exercise, someone said, I think it was one of the commissioners, that learning is an individual sport. And while I think that is really quite true, the dynamic of creating the guidance document, I think, demonstrated abundantly that learning is also a group sport. And that we are learning through collaboration. And in fact, the exercises that we're engaged in really is a collaborative process. And so I think that the guidance document was that in spades, collaboration in spades. And so, I thank everybody for learning together. And sometimes it's a struggle, but it is, it, I think the product that we came up with was pretty terrific. So I just want to say thanks for all of that. So the next next item on the agenda tonight is Fontantillo. We were talking about the deadlines and what they mean. And I thought I knew what they meant. And because of Fawn's wise counsel, I learned a little bit more about what they actually mean. And so, Fawn, I'd like you to go over the calendar of what that means. So the, our first deadline is the 28th of February, when the public has to have their contribution, their submissions, their mapping plans submitted to the commission. And then the next deadline is May 20th, which to me was a little fuzzy, but it's not anymore. But I'd like you to explain how that works and what that looks like on a calendar. So go ahead.
Sure. I'm going to share my screen if I can. I made a calendar for April and May months only. And what the charter says is that the commission shall hold one or more public hearings on or prior to May 20th of each year ending in a 2, and shall make that draft plan available to the public for inspection and comment not less than 10 days before such public hearing. So clearly the 20th is the deadline to hold a public hearing. One other issue is the day that the legal notice goes in the paper does not count as part of that 10-day period. A legal notice would have to appear in the paper on the 10th in order for us to hold a public hearing on the 20th. The problem with that is that the legal notices, our papers are weeklies, and the legal notices come out on Wednesdays. So if we put the legal notice in to appear on Wednesday, the 11th, you wouldn't have time. It would have to be in the paper by Wednesday, the 4th. That means you could hold the public hearing anytime that whole week, but you would have to have it in the paper. It would have to appear in the paper on the 4th. But to back that up, we have to give, the paper has a deadline for legal notices. I need to have that legal notice to put in the paper with your plan by the 29th of April to hold a public hearing the week of the 16th through the 20th. So you could hold the public hearing anytime that week, but you would have to have that legal, the drop dead deadline for us to have your draft plan is going to be the 28th. If you want to hold, a meeting on the week of the 9th through the 13th also, you would have to back it up yet another week. So I just wanted you aware of your time constraints. I don't know.
That's clear. So it's a little scary. It means that we don't have quite as much time as maybe, well, at least I thought, maybe others have thought. And you know, that it's really good to go through this. Does anyone else have any questions of Fawn on this or clarification? Need for clarification? Please speak up, because we're going to have to pick a date. Excuse me, before we pick a date, we have to also figure out if we want one or more public hearings. Do we want one and make a backup date just in case something happens? Or do we want two? What's the pleasure of the commission on this? Given what everything that Fawn has outlined here. Anybody?
One thing I would recommend is not holding a public hearing on a Friday. Generally, people frown on that. If we had to, we certainly could. And that week of the 17th, I believe we don't have the legislative calendar yet, but I suspect we will have either a session or a caucus night on the 17th. So we could hold one night with legislators that night if you want to unveil it to them. And that could be a public hearing for the public as well. But again, that's entirely up to you.
What was the experience from the last reapportionment on public hearings? Was one sufficient, or were two?
The, la- The last public hearing, I believe we held three public hearings in three different locations in the county, one up on 28. I think we had one in Ellenville. And I know we had one in the legislature. We might have had one in New Paltz. I know there were at least three public hearings the last time.
But that was a lot driven probably by geography as much as...
And again, we were going from 33 legislators to 23 single member districts. So it was a huge change.
Was there a strong attendance or was the attendance weak?
I would say there was a relatively strong attendance with like probably five or six people at each public hearing.
I only attended the legislative one, and that was standing room only. But of course, then the legislature had the vote on that. They don't this time.
Well, if the public hearings only attracted five or six people, we could probably do that in one Zoom session.
I agree with you, Ken, as well. If it's only five or six people, it's not really necessary to hold multiple.
If we're still meeting by Zoom, then.
Almost nearly every time as this commission, I think we can probably guarantee by April we will be also meeting on Zoom at this rate. So I agree. I think if it's Zoom, which I think it largely will be, one is probably sufficient.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Fawn said is, do we want to have a separate one for the legislators? I mean, it's different this time, of course, because it's not like several people are going to, we're not going to shrink the legislature. It's going to remain the same size. It'll change, but should we do one just for the legislators? And what do you think? I'm not advocating it.
And it wouldn't be just for the legislature. If you're holding a public hearing, it would be for the public.
It would be for the public. Okay.
I wonder if we should do one on Zoom for people who don't want to come all the way to Kingston, and then a second one for the legislators on the 17th, as you suggested. That way we can cover all of those bases.
If we're trying to maintain the idea that we're not influenced by legislators, though, what would be the purpose of having a meeting with the legislatures about what we've come up with? It seems entirely counterintuitive to sort of the ground rules that we established from our very first meeting of the four of us picking, you know, additional three members.
I mean, I think if we can incorporate like a meeting where the public is there and the legislators also happen to be there, I mean, they're going to find out about it at some point, you know? So I feel like getting their feedback, like we're still obviously like the commission is the ones in charge of making the final decision. But I do think it's possible that some of the legislators might have information that we might not have. And so obviously it's our choice whether or not we incorporate that feedback into our plan or not. But I come from the perspective that like having all the information is better than not having it.
So Andy, are you suggesting two meetings?
I think one online if we're still doing that, and then one in person with the legislators, if that's possible.
They may still be on Zoom too.
Yeah, I think the legislators are still on Zoom.
Mm. I think the legislatures can come to the Zoom meeting, but I think it's entirely counter to our entire philosophy that we've been working with to have an extra meeting just to have legislatures on the call. I'm sure that they have information to add. They're sort of in the best position to provide us with information. The whole point of us being in an arm's length with them was because they have so much information that is just inherently in a conflict of interest that we're trying to stay away from that. So no doubt they have information, but that information has a heavy gloss of their own political livelihood. And I feel really uncomfortable with having a meeting just so that we can have legislatures on. No one can keep them from coming. We have one on right now. Just for them seems against the philosophy, and
commission can change the philosophy that it established at its first meeting. I mean, we had a year under our belt, so there's been a lot of discussion, and you know, opinions have changed. And I agree with Andy. We got to invite legislatures in to see what we may have made some significant mistakes in our
our draft proposals, and the legislature would be able to point that out and we'd be able to fix it before we approve it.
Well, my opinion has not changed, and I don't think that the philosophy of the public has changed either. But if there are members on this committee that want to change the philosophy, then it'll be out in public that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, then we ought to have a vote.
Well, let's hear from others first, and we could do that. We could do exactly that, Ken. But others who haven't spoken about this, there any feelings about it, please?
Well, if I may.
Yes.
The vote is it's up to you. All you're doing is gathering information. So whatever way I would do a public hearing on Zoom. I mean, at this point, you don't know where it's going to be. So a public hearing on Zoom and a public meeting it doesn't have to be in front of a legislative session. It could be just at the county office building. That would probably be the way I would do it. Have one. I would probably do it this way. I'd have it joint. or you can either have one on Zoom or one just at the county office building. It doesn't have to be at a legislative session, but that's where the legislators can come see you. And they're also able to join in on any meeting you have and provide their input. It doesn't mean you're going to, it's still up to you.
If I could just clarify too, I think I was thinking ahead to a point where we might do one in-person meeting at the county office building and encourage the legislators to attend that one so we could get their feedback at once, and then have one Zoom meeting for anyone who doesn't want to come to Kingston or can't make it or whatever. Granted, those plans can't really be made right now because we don't know if we'll be in Zoom or in person or whatever. So that's what I was thinking when I made my comment, but I obviously know that we'll need to modify, of course, that plan according to what is going on at that point.
Mm-hmm. Donna, Kathy, what do you think about this?
I agree with Sarah. I think that the legislators can come to any of our meetings that we've held or come into to chat with us. I feel it's a conflict of interest as well.
Okay. Kathy?
The same as what Donna and Sarah.
Yeah. Well, I would agree with you and with Sarah about a special one for legislators. It seems to me that we can have two. We can have one online, and if we can have one in person at the county office building for anybody. Is that acceptable to everybody? Would that sort of like split the baby here? What do you think?
I think that covers it.
As long as it's open to everybody. I agree that it shouldn't be just for the county legislatures.
I
think it should be they're like you said, encouraged to come, like Andy it said, but they're also encouraged to come to the Zoom meeting if they want to as well.
Yeah. So could we say that the Zoom, the first meeting, Zoom open to everybody, of course, would be on, let's say, if I don't have that calendar in front of me, I don't know if you could put that back up again, Fawn, maybe the 16th, perhaps? The beginning of that week, is that a Monday, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Could we do the 17th?
The 17th?
16th? Yeah, that's just a big deadline for me for work on the that's my not-for-profit deadline.
So I think the more important one is the Zoom meeting. And so can we schedule it for the 17th and then work backwards, Fawn, as you had suggested. And what about for the in-person, if it's possible, at the county office building for anybody? What day would that be?
The 18th?
Yeah.
Hey, would you do two in a row?
That'd be okay. It's okay with me. Is that okay with everybody else?
That would be fine. Just the one caveat I have to give you is if the legislators are meeting in person and they're meeting on if they're standing, we'll have to see how their calendar shapes out before we can finalize this.
Okay. Well, why don't we say the 17th, a Zoom meeting, and then at our next meeting in February, we'll decide on a public meeting. How's that?
By then we'll know what their calendar
what's going on. Okay. Okay. And I do agree. I have to say, you know, we said right from the start that we weren't going to carve out a special interest for legislators. Not that they're unimportant. Obviously not. But they are not going to be, you know, influencing you know, this process, other than as any other citizen would. So, okay. All right, so good that we made quite a bit of headway. All right, so I think we're going to leave that for the time being. Is there anything else on the calendar, Fawn, that you want to share?
Well, just that you have a, I think you may want to add the deadline of the 28th of April for your draft plan.
Ah, okay. All right, so that gives us a month after the 28th of February, right? So a month after the
2 months, March, April.
Oh, March and April. Okay, correct. I'm sorry, March and April. That's enough time. So, does everybody feel comfortable with, is that April 28th?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a big deal. We have to get that in place. So, thank you for that clarification, Fawn, and everybody's participation in that. Appreciate that very, very much. Okay. The next item on the agenda is one of our fellow commissioners, Ken Panza. And Ken sent us last week, I believe last Thursday, a 19-page document in which he said, here's a plan, not a complete plan. Here's a process toward a plan. And I'm going to be finished with it on the 28th of February, but knowing Ken, it'll be before then, I'm pretty sure. So I called up Ken with a certain amount of enthusiasm about this because I just thought this was a great process document, not a product, a process document. And it made me think that's where we're at right now in this whole business, this whole reapportionment commission business. It's right now it's all process. And so I was going out to Ken. I called him at his home, and characteristically he said, listen, Regis, you want to save the praise for when I finish it? And I said, no, I don't care when you finish it. I said, I like this. I like the unfinished, thoughtful, tell me what you're thinking about as you're doing mapping kind of a process. So I was pretty excited about that, and asked him if he would just share, not that whole document, of course, but maybe a couple of slides in which he could give us an idea of just how he went about this. So, Ken, would you mind proceeding with this, please?
I would. Can you share the screen with me, please? Or am I on a share screen?
You should be able to share, yes. I don't see it yet, but.
This is always a trick.
Can try it, look at the bottom. It's a green button. It just says share screen when you're hovering.
Well, I've lost the whole screen. Huh? Oh, maybe we're at it now.
See the share screen, the green arrow at the bottom.
Can you see the presentation now?
No. You have to click share. You have to click it.
I think I lost the whole YouTube.
Do you see like all of us though, Ken? Like, do you see us?
I can see you.
Right. So at the bottom of like this screen, you're going to see where it says like share screen.
If you move your cursor toward the bottom of the screen.
What I did is I minimized that. All right, I got.
Now. There we go. There we go.
All right.
Okay.
I got to do more of these so I can figure out how to do them. All right. Well, as Regis explained, he called me up and asked for a couple of slides on what I did. And this is sort of a follow-on to the November presentation I give. I have more than a couple of slides, but I'll go through them quite rapidly, just kind of hit the highlights of what I submitted to the commission. My overall plan was on mapping was really to define four major geographic areas. Saugerties, Ulster, the town of Kingston, which all sort of fit together, the city of Kingston, the western part of Ulster, and then the southeastern corner of Ulster, and create maps for each area and merge the results. But the those areas seem to be susceptible to being analyzed by themselves and then put together as sort of a larger puzzle. Last time I talked, I wasn't using Mapitude because I didn't have it yet, but a lot of this work was done with Mapitude. But beyond that, I asked for a desktop environment when we got started on this, and that request was denied. So I built my own using legacy software, and I have all the 2010, 2020, all the New York adjusted census data now available on my my desktop computer. I also used the census maps for the towns, which are available from the census, which provide a lot more detail about where the blocks are, where the boundaries are, where the tracks are. And so you can really get down at the detail of where individual blocks are. And I also, going to be using the Ulster County District map, because once we start looking at the moving specific blocks around, I need to look at voting districts and things like that. One of the first things I did was to compare the prison population changes with the original 2010 census. This is sort of New York's approach to a prisoner exchange program. And what really came out was that, the loss of population in Shawgum and Worsing was much larger than I expected. Sort of expected a 2,000 person loss, but it was around 3,500, which left a huge hole in those districts down there. For the most part, all the towns got a few extra people as part of the prisoner exchange, but overall, it's those two towns, Worsing and Shawgum, which really are causing.
Can you click on the slides? Because we can't see the slides you're reading. I'm assuming you're on slide four at this point.
Yeah, you can't see the slides?
No, you just got
to click it. Need to click on it, yeah.
Oh, okay. I was using buttons, I'm sorry.
No problem.
New York adjusted census?
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. I'm assuming that's the one that you're talking about.
Right, that's all, has all these numbers.
Yeah, can you click it?
Can you click that, yeah.
I'm not sure what you're missing.
Oh, you might be in slideshow view.
Right. Well, he's not. I think, Ken, there's a... You see where it says 95% on your screen? There's a button right to the left of it. That's presentation mode. You might want to click that.
I don't see that on the screen. What am I supposed to click?
Right on your lower right-hand side of your screen, on your PDF, there's the 95% number right next to it is a full screen.
I don't see that.
I think he's in slideshow mode.
That's weird.
Like, that's not what he's sharing. He's sharing. Yo, here you go. There we go.
There you go.
Yeah, my man. Thanks, Ken.
Okay. Good. Well, we got rid of that.
Ken, I'm so sorry. Now you're on mute.
You got to unmute yourself, Ken.
Okay.
We can't hear you, Ken.
Vaughn, as the host, can you invite Ken to unmute the microphone? I think there's
there
a
go. There. Okay, there you go.
Everything sort of, you know, these drop back into the background. And they don't pop up unless you hit the right spot on the screen. All right, some of the mapping assumptions I use when doing the maps. I was really looking to do the non-destructive districts, meaning I didn't want to really change the districts I was looking at significantly. So, you know, the results I wanted to look sort of like what the current districts look like. That's really not possible for the southern districts where you have that huge hole that was created by the removing the incarcerated prisoners. I use only census blocks. There are 155 block groups, and you know, these really eliminate a lot of the problems of staying within town boundaries, within the village boundaries, with the minimize the use of individual blocks, which is possible now, but at the very end, some of that's going to have to change. And I defined the four geographic areas. So going quickly through them. The first one I looked at was Saugerties, Ulster, and the town of Kingston. The population of those towns hardly changed at all. Saugerties dropped and the Ulster and the town of Kingston picked up. And those cover four existing districts, and you could easily create four new districts out of those populations and meet the 815 criteria. But with the lower district sizes, part of that population has to be removed. So what that looks like, we have this, these are the current districts, and this is what the mappitude would look like with the new districts I defined. And what has been taken out is this section of Hurley or of Ulster, which is just west of the town of the city of Kingston. Well, because the lower population and the lower sizes, the districts are gonna have lower populations in it. But the criteria of having districts that look like what they originally looked like is pretty closely followed here. The same thing with the city of Kingston. They picked up a few more on incarcerated prisoners on their total population counts, but the city of Kingston fits again within the three districts they already have, although the district boundaries might be a little bit different. And this is what it looked like on the mappitude. And this was, you know, these lines were drawn just based on the numbers of the size of the block groups. And there's, you know, I have no understanding what these neighborhoods are or what the lines cover, but these are the three districts just based on the numbers for the city of Kingston. And then the town of Woodstock was sort of a standalone case. The town got bigger, but the district sizes had to be reduced. So we had to remove an area from the town of Woodstock in order to reduce the district size. In this case, I chose to remove this voting block here, which is the Lenford part of West Hurley and out of Woodstock. So the overall result is, is that you can define an entire northeast corner of Ulster County, essentially using the same types of district boundaries that existed beforehand, so that no one is really surprised by the way the districts have been redrawn, except you have to, you know, two areas had to be removed, one from the town of Ulster and one from the town of Hurley, which now have to be reestablished and put into a new area. But from the viewpoint of what I did, this now is all locked in place because it doesn't really need to be changed beyond this. So now I defined the Ulster County West, which is the towns of Hurley, Marbletown, Olive, Rochester, Rosendale, and then the Shandaken, Hindenburg, Deming area. This whole area has declined in population, by about 871 people. But the idea was that at this point, had to find a place for that place of that district of Hurley, which we moved out. And then we had three alternatives. One, move it with the move it back into Hurley and combine it with the rest of the Hurley districts, merge it with Olive in District 22, or create a brand new district, which was encompassing the Yashokan Reservoir. Now, this third option, this was just one of these options. What if no one's asked for this type of rearrangement, but I just thought I'd try something new and different. Okay, if you merge that section out of Woodstock into the Hurley, which is, you know, this is originally is part of the town of Hurley, and all we're doing is putting it back into Hurley. What happens is that you rearrange the boundaries for District 18 down into Hurley into Marbletown, and you rearrange the district boundaries for Rosendale, but they don't look all that different from what is already in place with the existing maps. So this is the way it works out. You have three districts, 18, 19, and 23. Everything balances out, and there's no changes to the western districts of 21 and 22. The second option was to merge that section of Hurley with Olive in District 22. Now, what happens there is that the that whole western district, which is 22, gets larger, and you have to push out essentially Deming and Hardenburg and attach that to Rochester. And you end up with new districts, 18 and 19, 21 and 22, but some of them don't match up yet. On District 18, we're over about, or under about 5.4%, but that district line runs right through Stone Ridge. So it's easy to see how we can move that line and then resolve that, that differential. The other area is that this area is over probably about 1,000 people in District 22, but that's right next to the hole that was created by removing the prisoners. So you need, we need extra people down there in order to fill in districts where Wasing and Shawgum are. So that those, what we end up with is some partial arrangements which has to be fixed when we get to the southern districts. And finally, I create a district which encompasses the Yashokan, attach Hurley to Olive, bring it all the way around. Not really happy with this approach, but this is just another option that could be considered. The disadvantage is that no one's really looking for this sort of district. And secondly, parts of Marbletown get attached to Olive, get attached to Shenandoah, which was certainly, I'm sure, surprised the people who are currently residing in Marbletown. Again, the tablet shows that you know, we have about 1,000 people extra in District 21, which need to be moved into the hole that the prisoner exchange program created. So this is where we end up, where I've ended up. I have the northeastern corner of Ulster pretty much locked down. No reason to change those proposed districts. The middle part, we have three options, two which is probably really valuable, which can be brought together. And then the southeastern portion is open. And I put in the report, I put in two alternatives that can be placed there. And then if we move around some of the blocks, the individual census blocks, then we can create an entire new Ulster County district map. Those are some of those. So, I mean, this is where I am. I'm ready to finalize four different district maps, a combination of three of the district maps for Western Ulster and two of the Southeastern Ulster. have to balance the populations using census and eliminate those overages, create the documentation that goes along with these, and then I'll submit these district plans to the commission for their consideration evaluation. I put down the date February 28th, but I probably could have these done before our next meeting for your review. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ken. And, you know, I think the virtue of this, what Ken has done, is a kind of an example of what we can do with each other as we are shaping our own maps. Mine was a little bit different than what Ken had described, but there's just so many variations. But I appreciate the articulation of the process. That is, I think, where most of us are at. And I don't know where everybody else is. You know, I've certainly tried my hand at this and came up with one complete map and one still incomplete. My goal is to finish two, but I don't know that I'm going to get much more done than that. And some folks are still into looking at partial maps. But I think the discussion is worthwhile. I encourage all commissioners to read Ken's report to us as a process document, not a product document, as a process document. And I thank you very much, Ken, for all this hard work and the explanation that you just provided. Which
if
leads us.
If anyone has any questions, certainly just send me emails, and I'll be glad to respond as best I can.
That's great, Ken. Thanks for making yourself available. Appreciate that. What we're looking at is we kind of got the hearings not quite out of the way, but we know we have that. We have a direction on that. All of that's to the good. The next question, and I'm not going to try and prolong this, but I really want to stimulate some conversation. The bullet points that I included in the agenda items were really only for discussion. I was really popcorning there, whether we should have a committee or not, or whether the entire commission ought to be working on evaluations. There are different ways of looking at it, and I'd like to hear from the other commissioners what they feel about our next steps. And before you know it, February 28th will be here, and we're ready to consider maps that people are providing and also the commissioners are providing. And how do we evaluate them? Do we have a list of criteria? Well, we do with the software. There's a sense of completeness with regard to contiguity as well as population, unassigned, assigned areas. So the software does provide some of that, but it doesn't provide other things. So we have to come up with criteria by which we're going to judge these things. I think we need a certain, correct me if I'm wrong, a certain facility with mapping ourselves so that we, when we look at someone else's map, let's just say a map from one of the people from the public, then we would be able to say, this works. The software says that it meets all the specifications. What else are we looking at? So I would like to, open this up for a conversation on how we would go about doing this. Do you think that there needs to be a committee that first of all vets the submissions to make sure that all the basics are there, that they meet all the criteria of the software? That could be a kind of a level one review. Another one could be does it meet compactness? Compactness meaning that the boundaries are not contorted, they're not dispersed, that they're not squiggly, that they don't spike out. That another level could be are we keeping and trying to maintain the boundary levels of municipalities as best we can. I know if we do group blocks like Ken is doing, sometimes it spills over, sometimes it nicely boundaries the municipality. So there are lots of ways of looking at it. How do we make sure that we're defining geographic features such as the water? Ken was talking about the Ashokan. So let's say a reservoir, lake, streams, mountains. You know, how are we maintaining that kind of integrity? Another is we said that there'll be no gerrymandering. What does that look like? I don't know. I myself don't know what gerrymandering looks like. The first map that I came up with, it was all about numbers. It had nothing to do with gerrymandering. And somebody could take a look at this and say, wow, that you really gerrymandered the city of Kingston. I'd say it was indeliberate if I did, because I don't know what that means. And so does anybody know what that means? And who could make a call on what gerrymandering means? Another level that we could, you know, throw into this mix is, you know, is there a possibility to mix and match? In other words, two or more pieces of two or more maps that with some adjustments could actually work. So it's not just accepting one entire map. It could mean two or three, because, you know, the western part of the county looks better this way. The southern, which lost a lot of population, looks better that way. City of Kingston looks better that way. So we can glean ideas. So there are different levels of criteria, I think, that we could impose, you know, on our decision making. So I'd like to know from you, first of all, if you think that we need a kind of a vetting committee that would help us. The vetting committee could be a composition of anybody. It could be a couple of commissioners, a couple of staff from the county who wish to do this, and to sort things out so that we don't have to do it as a group of seven. That will have been done for us. Or maybe you think it should be done, you know, all by the commissioners themselves. So with that, I hope I'm not confusing things too much, but how are we going to go about doing this? How are we going to go about making some decisions based on what? And can we say with any certainty that it meets certain standards or certain criteria that we espouse? So anyway, have at it. I appreciate, you know, anybody's reflection on this.
I have a couple.
What do we do? Yes, go ahead, Rab.
Sure. One, well, the first step, if you're talking about completeness, there is the submit button. The submit button, a plan can't be submitted unless you press that submit button, and it's a complete and it's compact. So it's contiguous. So you have the software handles that first threshold. So anything that gets complete is technically a legitimate map for consideration. So that means you have what you really need is a second level. And what I'd recommend is that the committee come up with a matrix, and that is something that a subcommittee can do. You can base it off your criteria you find in the charter. Plus the software I have, I'll be able to bring in them, and I'll be able to run some other compactness analysis on them too. So I'll be able to provide that to the committee too. And I should be able to bring them all in at once, and we could look at all the plans on one screen. I haven't done that before yet, so that's the next thing. But going back to the matrix, if you come up with a matrix, and then as a homework assignment, once all these maps are submitted, each committee member could then look at them, rank them based on the criteria, and then come back and see how they score. And then maybe take the top 3, 4, 5, and then take them back into the program and play with them and see what aspects you like. And then that's when you get down to the real nitty gritty and you start really playing with the, as a committee, heads up, this line here, that kind of stuff. And that's mm-hmm. the way I would handle it.
So Regis, if I may, I apologize. I just want to build on what Rob said. The planning department has quite a bit of experience in terms of selection And that's what you're really doing here. And we build matrices all the time, and they can be weighted, they can be unweighted. Some things can take priorities or other things. And there's quite a bit of discussion that goes into the matrix. The good thing is when you come out, is everybody sort of is looking at and agreeing that when we score these things, we're looking at the same set of criteria for each of the sites. You're going to come up with different scores, but the idea would be, and we do this in selection of consultants. We actually do this in site selection. We're currently engaged in site selection for a government operations center. We spend quite a bit of time developing criteria in terms of how we would cite that and making the choices there. The other thing is it's defensible on a lot of other reasons. It becomes pretty defensible in terms of how did you arrive at that? And then what we end up doing, what I would suggest in agreement with Rob would be everybody scores all the ones that are eligible to be scored. You end up averaging the scores. And then if everyone's comfortable, you pick the top five, the top three, you pick whatever number you want to do. And then from those, you can basically say, okay, what do we like? Then we can go through the exact same thing that Ken has done. What do we like about these? And what don't we like about these? You can do pros and cons. And then you can start to look at what I would call a composite and see where we are on composites. And you may produce two or three composites, or you may even say, this one's just great, it works. And then you could rank the composites and then go from there to end up getting to a preferred selection. The nice thing about that is that a couple things. One is that it's a clear methodology in terms of how the committee got to a final decision. And two is, and we always look at this in terms of the environmental work that we do and others, it's defensible, not only in terms of the general public, but it's also defensible if you end up going to court. Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's Dennis, that is great. And Rob, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. I was struggling with that this afternoon. And, you know, I came up with these levels. I mean, it's really a matrix is what you're talking about. And a matrix by which commissioners can score. And as you say, this could be averaged out. I love it. How do we get there? How do we get to that? Should a couple of us meet with Rob?
Let's have a discussion about what this matrix is. I mean, you throw out a matrix and then we do some numbers. What are the dimensions of the matrix?
I think that the only way to really have a matrix on this, I mean, we had a great discussion on the last time on our instructions. As Ken noted, none of our preferences on geographic features or town lines is supposed to really have any preference over any other. So unfortunately, it seems to me that a matrix on the features of the maps themselves, it probably is time consuming, but also potentially runs afoul of the charter that we're working under. If our philosophy on it was that none of the features can really has any preference over others. So, but I think the idea of us scoring what we like and then having it be, you know, some sort of average amongst the seven of us makes sense. It shows what our priorities are from the maps. So I think that might be the way of going about it. But the features wise, I think coming up with, you know, weightings and whatnot, hazardous.
Well, I'm just trying to understand what you're saying, Sarah. So instead of creating a matrix by which we would score, you're saying to score it to create the criteria. Because what you like or what I like could be very different, right?
But that will probably, we can't come up with a matrix that we're trying to come up with a standard and then we're going to weight a standard and weight. We'd all come up with the same result then, right? So I just don't think that we can really put a weighting on like, I like that this avoids a mountain range or that this is respectful of a town line when we've already agreed that those considerations really have no, like there's no list of this one is more important than the other. Then doing it in a matrix inherently says this one is more important than the other. We've already agreed that the first one is the way the charter explains to us we're supposed to be proceeding.
I would think of it this way. The matrix should be, how close do you think this meets the considerations of the charter. Take that across the board and think about the map in each line that way. This way, you're not, and it can be a little bit, I mean, everybody's gonna have their own opinion on how well it meets that threshold of the charter, but that's the way I would do it.
Right, that's what I'm sort of saying, is like we can score it based on how we feel it is sufficient to meet criteria, but like that's basically like scoring it based on our preferences, like ranking it, like if there's seven of them, the best one is seven and the least one we like the least is one, you know, and then having that be an average amongst us. But otherwise, I don't think you can really weight the internal features of the map.
So go ahead, Ken.
Last month, we defined what the features are that are required. It was a four or five bullets that we put in that document. And I suppose that's one dimension of the matrix. And then the other dimension is the various plans. And we mark each base how well they meet that previously defined criteria. Because that's what, you know, people are working towards. And that's right from the charter. I mean, otherwise, you know, this discussion about matrix is very esoteric. I mean, unless you actually start identifying what the dimensions are, you know, you really can't make a decision whether to do it or not. But we have one dimension, which we already defined in the document we did last month. And I suppose we could just mark all the maps against those criteria that we already established. And I'm not sure that's any different than what Regis just suggested.
No, it's not any different from what I just suggested. Yeah.
Just remember, one thing you will have is you will have numbers and you will be able to look at them and say, okay, how many deviations was, what's the greatest extent and lowest extent of any district? And how close overall are all the districts to the median? So you will be, there will be some numbers. It won't all be subjective to it, or you will have numbers.
Well, what numbers? Numbers of what?
How far you each overall map deviates from the median. So what? From the zero. So it's like you can look at the districts and say, okay, all these districts, this map keeps all the districts closest to the median. That meets the compactness threshold much better than one that has -5, +5 all over the place. If you have all ones that are, you know, +1, +-2 all over the place, then that's a more compact map. That might be a better map. And you'll have that number to look at.
Well, we got that number out of Mappitude already, right?
Right, but you'll be able to compare them all as one second.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm not sure we're gonna do this tonight. In fact, I am sure that we're not. But I myself would like to meet with Rob about this and look at the criteria that's already, Ken, as you said, you know, in the guidance document. Everything, well, first of all, the population and those things, the Mappitude does not allow you to make a map that isn't that isn't complete. But then there are things that they don't measure, such as what we were talking about with regard to boundaries, whether those are political boundaries or geographical boundaries or whatever boundaries we want to think of. So would anybody like to join me in meeting with Rob about this? We'll see if we can get this thing by the tail the next time, because I don't really want to get into, I wouldn't want us to start scoring willy-nilly, you know, on our own on what we like, you know, and then see what everybody else likes. But there's a little bit more method to it.
Yeah, I think there's another consideration here. I mean, none of us were chosen for those groups based on our mapping skills.
Right.
I mean, I'm sort of an exception, but that wasn't purposeful. It was just kind of, you know, I'd done zoning and water and stuff like that. So I, you know, have an interest in maps over a long period of time. But we were chosen because we had an understanding of various parts of the county. I mean, I'm pretty good at the northeast corner and Little Woodstock, and understand Socrates and Ulster and Olive, and because I meet with those people on a lot of my climate work. but at the south end of the county, I mean, I've only recently learned how to pronounce Shogun. You know, I mean, I have no idea what the, I just do the numbers, and I may be doing things which someone else would look at and say, hey, that doesn't really belong there. You need to move this town over. And like Mike told us with Kerhonkson, you know, based on what his comment was, we put Kerhonkson into Rochester. But I'm sure there are other situations like that in Southern Ulster, which I have no idea about, which other members of the commission would be able to inform us about. And, you know, that sort of discussion we also need to have, not just, you know, what the standard deviation is of the population variances on the various districts. I mean, that's an interesting number, but, you know, once the district meets is within the criteria, I'm not sure we really care.
Yeah. Well, let me ask the question again. Would anybody like to accompany me to meet with Rob and to try and get our arms around this a little bit better than what we have right now?
I will have a meeting with Rob tomorrow, right? 2 o'clock. So if you want to jump in on it, we're meeting. Well,
I thought that was a training session, actually, Kathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you want to...
I wouldn't want to cut into that, into your training session, Kath, you know, but, I don't know what Rob's time is either. You know, I can't speak.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Well, okay. But,
jump in here for a moment? I just feel like we need to be careful about how many, once there are two or more and you're discussing, what you're going to do moving forward, then it becomes a meeting and you need to invite you need to invite the public.
Two or more or four or more?
I'm reading it right now. My understanding is two or more if you're discussing public business, whether or not any formal action is taken. So you can't do public business without, like you can't act without the quorum.
That they can have three, my understanding is they, because we've discussed this, they can have three commissioners on a subcommittee or something like that without doing a formal, and once they get four, they have a quorum and they have to notice it. But up to three of them can be training or working on a project.
You're not making any decisions.
We're not making any decision
as a committee on open government on this specific question when the Woodstock Town Board assigned two town councilmen to work on zoning revisions. And I asked them, isn't this an open meeting? And they said, under those conditions, that subcommittee is established by the town board, is considered an independent committee, and is required to follow the open meetings law.
This I don't think we're establishing, I don't, I mean, I actually am not even sure I would approve of a subcommittee on this topic. So it seems to me it's just a information gathering by Regis and Kathy and I guess Donna. Yeah.
I like that. Let's not call it a committee.
That's something we have to be voting on, and I don't think I would even approve the creation of which, so.
No, thank you. That's really, really helpful. Kristen, does that stack up okay with you?
I think it's fine if the three of you are meeting with Rob just to gather information on, right, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, since no one's really elbowing to meet with me and Rob, I'll ask you to, you'll have my email and my telephone number. Could you call me or email me with your interest in doing an information session with Rob? Yeah. Okay, so we'll leave it there. And yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm under quarantine, so I can't really do much in the way of in-person meetings.
Okay, all right. But those who can and wish to, I'd appreciate hearing from you. Thank you. The last thing I wanted to mention was the final plan, which is exactly the same thing. How do we go about doing this? And what occurred to me is something that perhaps it was Dennis that said, if this is ever challenged, we really should have you know, some sort of method. We could say, this is what we did. This is how we did it. It's why we did it. And we did it with a certain sense of rigor and try to leave arbitrariness at the door, and certainly prejudice at the door.
I really like the idea of thinking about running through this when you finally get to a decision-making process, that the commission, looking at what Ken Panza has done, that the commission produce a document that says, here are all of the considerations that we have, that we arrived at that, and that the commission vote on the document as a whole, not that somebody says, I did it because of this, somebody else says, I did it because of that. But really, it's a commission decision. We all agree with the facts of how we got there. And I think Ken's short PowerPoint gives you an idea of a legal document that you can write up and say, this is how we do it. And the commission votes on that particular document for that particular plan. And for me, that would be, I'm not an attorney, but that would be that's what we advise local planning boards. Don't do things individually, do things as boards or commissions.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I also want to note that I don't know that a matrix is this objective standard that we think we're creating. There are plenty of matrices that have been used over time that have baked discrimination and prejudice into them for generations. I mean, we look at redlining in the United States was subsequent to a matrix. So I think having a document that explains fully what our thought processes was is very important. Obviously, we'll justify all the decisions we made. But I think we should not kid ourselves that a matrix protects us from any sort of, you know, arm's length objective standard. There's plenty of times that matrices bake in our subjective biases, and we should be very careful about that. So, I think Dennis is correct. Having that document is a necessity, but let's be careful about thinking our matrix is objective.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else on this topic? Okay. I think we have come close to the end. New business. Does any commissioner have new business for us to consider beyond what we talked about tonight or at a future meeting? Okay. Old business, I think we've covered for the most part. Public comment. This is a time for anybody who is a guest, either via Zoom or by phone, that have any comments on the work of the commission. So we'll start with those who are on Zoom. Phil, you may want to go first and say what you wanted to say in the beginning. Phil, okay. You still with us? Yeah, good.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Commission, for your work. Thank you for having me here. You know, I read the sample map that you, or at least one sample map that you had drawn, Chair Bajewski, and also one that Supervisor Baden had submitted, and now seeing the presentation from Commissioner Panza. And I came in here seeing how those proposed maps of the city of Kingston would mix up the different wards. And then I came through tonight's presentation appreciating how actually throughout the county, many, if not most of the towns get broken up into, you know, doesn't line up your town board and your county representative. And I'm wondering if there's any coordination that you all, through your insight in working on this, can do or would like to do with the existing town and village and city governments. I'm not sure if any towns elect by district, but I, of course, the city of Kingston does elect by wards. And, but of course the whole town elects its government separate from other towns. So I guess to make my point, what consideration do you give to, it sounds like you do give some, but it's not possible with the population, other constraints always to keep it lined up in that way. And I'm not sure I've asked a question in the end, but I appreciate you hearing me talk about that and just seeing that we can keep communities together that have an interest that's the same or think they do or have some representation that that might be the same. And but in general, I appreciate your work and thank you for thinking about all these things and working on it.
Well, thank you, Phil. I'll give you a quick response. At least that's my response, and anybody else can jump in on this. I've heard from at least two elected officials beside yourself that there is a certain disparateness that occurs with reapportionment, where county legislators and municipal officials don't blend. There's no crossover, and people who happen to live in a municipality have no idea who their their county legislator even is. They may not have even seen her or him ever, wonder why they don't come to council meetings or town board meetings, and that happens a lot all over the place. And so two elected officials says, can't you just keep us whole? Well, that would be neat. If take for example, I live in the town of Ulster. To have that whole, first of all, there's 12,600 people, so you can't make one. It's going to be a little bit messy. It's going to be a little bit of this and that. We spill over into the town of Kingston. Our focus is not to in a sense pick or try to fit in a Procrustean way our work into a certain legislative district. We do what we do based on the population, and you know, we even had to discipline ourselves not to talk about voters. You know, we're just talking about population. And so there's a difference there. So it's from a legislator's point of view, from as a county legislator and as a municipal official, these things don't blend neatly. They just don't. And we don't work from that end. We work from the other end. So it often seems like it's a bit messy, unless of course you live out in Shandaken of Olive and Hardenberg, and you know, those things sort of fit nicely, and they have for years, except for Ken tonight. He decided to do something different out in the far west of the county, but that's been stable for years, almost to the number. And so it's very neat and it's all boundaried, but that's one of the few places in the entire county where that works. But we certainly understand your point of view, and we've heard it before. So, but we try to be sensitive to it.
I might add one thing is that the census change between 2010 and 2020 for Ulster County was very small. And you could almost make the case, well, we could just keep the same districts, except that they moved out 3,500 incarcerated prisoners. And that dropped our population by about 2,500, which reduced the size of all the available districts. So even if the district, nothing has changed, it's going to get smaller. And so, you know, some places that's easy to do. Like I said, in the northeast corner, we can shrink things up and rearrange it and take a few sections out and move them somewhere else. But those other sections where you're moving new parts of a town into something that wasn't there before, like the far west, or we have a big hole like we down in Shawgum and Water Orsing. I mean, that's going to be major reshuffling those district boundaries just to make up for that deficit.
Right. Okay. Is there anyone else that is on Zoom that would like to make a comment or ask a question?
Yeah, Regis, Mike Baden.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
So while you guys were discussing the public hearings, I clicked back to the legislature website, And not that it matters, but there were three public hearings. Fawn was indeed correct. There was one at the legislature. There was a north and a south public hearing is how it was broken up. But something I discovered that I had sort of forgotten about is on there, is there's a whole host of written comments that were submitted on the 2011 redistricting. And just scrolling through them, I had a flood of remembrance of a lot of the issues that were discovered in 2011. And many of them, I see you guys sort of having the same conversation. So just a thought, not that it specifically pertains to what you're doing now, but from generalities, it might be interesting to go back and look at some of those discussions and some of those comments that were made, because many of them are probably still appropriate now, because they're talking about geography, not necessarily population. So I just thought I would mention that. It definitely was old home week for me from 10 years ago. So, but just a comment that it was very remindful to me, but to many of you reading it for the first time, it might be interesting.
Thank you, Mike. Anyone else have a comment for us or a question on Zoom? If not, how about on the telephone? If there's anybody on the phone, please unmute yourself and speak up, please. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Regis, it looks like Phil does have one more question.
I'm sorry. Oh, Phil, I'm sorry you do have your hand up. I apologize. Go ahead.
Thank you again. I just wanted to mention the discussion around the shifting of population due to incarcerated folks. And I'm grateful that we're talking about this here. And I think it's important that we de-invisibilize our incarcerated neighbors. And if this commission is in so talking about, we can acknowledge the massive number of people we've imprisoned in our county. And also I wanted to thank Commissioner DiStefano particularly. Thank you for mentioning some of what you've been saying around equity and the past history of redlining and so forth. I really appreciate you bringing that up into this conversation. So thank you again.
Appreciate your sensitivity on that. Thank you, sir. Anyone else, please?
To follow up on that, we actually by law have to remove the prison population from our census counts, not because we're trying not to consider them, but because they'll actually be considered in the location that they call home. So just to, you're nodding, it seems like you're aware of that, but just to make clear that we're not trying to banish them from our count, but that there's been a legal process and that they're actually being considered where they really probably should be.
Yeah, well said. Thank you, sir. Last call for a comment or a question.
Rob has a
question. Yeah, oh, just Rob. One last thing. Yeah. When did you want to actually publish the Caliper Maptitude website to everybody? Have we released a press release? Is it linked to the commit redistricting website? That would be apropos to do so.
Yes, it's on the website.
Okay. Have we advertised it?
Yeah, we did a press release about it.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen any news articles on it. Okay.
It was in the agreement.
There was. Yeah, Pat Doxey wrote an article. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
Rob. How many people have signed up? How many people have signed up to to use it?
There are a number of shared plans now, but you'd have to go in and start a plan and see all of them. Most of those people are people already on this call, though.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay. I'm requesting a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Travis. Oh, all right. Sarah, Travis, second. Okay. Thank you very much. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll enjoy the rest of your evening. We'll see you on February 9th. And I hope to get a phone call or two from some of you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.